Welcome to the Chronic Podcast with host Ralph Malvro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of Hakeem Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse, and in which order would you die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely. No doubt.
The zombies would smell Dave's sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his... I don't even have a joke, Dave! Dave smells like nougat!
Now here's your host, Ralph Malvro.
All right, welcome to the Chronic Podcast. As always, we are sponsored by the Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. They have all your draft beer needs. Andrew needs them all tonight, 136 draft beers. They have a menu to die for. Go there for the Super Bowl. Go there. LSU is making the tournament this year. You can go there and watch all the NCAA basketball you can handle. They have a great menu. The Pelican House, 2572 City Place Court, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. You should support them because they support us.
By the way, did the Pelicans get fucking swept by the 76ers yet tonight?
No, they're up 20.
Okay, because I would really melt down.
Yeah, they'd have to fire Monty on the spot tonight if they lose at home to the Sixers.
But they've won. They won three in a row, though.
Yes,
that's
right.
An all-time high for Monty.
That is. He might get a contract extension.
Championship.
All right. There is so much to talk about. Who that say they're going to own them Saints?
You didn't think Rito was going to get fired before Monty, huh?
No, I did not. That is a good point. Addition.
You would have got some great odds in Vegas on that.
You would have. me and Andrew had a special podcast last week, and we did it before we suspected that Rita and the Benson family would drop the bomb on Tom and be like, whoa, we want the $2 billion. You can't just give it to the third wife. We suspected that would happen. I didn't think it would happen the next day, but it did, obviously. But Dave and Kevin weren't here. So Dave, your initial thoughts of the whole Benson family war over the teams.
I mean, it's probably going to get worse. It's probably going to get uglier.
Oh, it's going to get ugly.
It gets better. I feel like nobody wins in this situation. You know, we're probably the good part as fans. I mean, I say good, you know, it's sleazy, but I feel like we're going to get a lot more information about the first family of football in New Orleans, more information than we would have normally. I think that Benson is really not really with it that much anymore, and he's suffering from dementia or Alzheimer's or whatever. And his health is certainly failing as well. I don't know, and I spoke with somebody today who knows Mr. Benson personally and sees him regularly, and
so hashtag sources.
Hashtag sources.
Yeah, I mean, I really wouldn't call it a source, but it is somebody who does know Mr. Benson on a professional level.
The guy who plays squash with him.
So it's a source.
It's a source.
not on a football professional level. It doesn't matter. But anyway, he's known him for quite a long time, and he's dealt with Gail, of course, too. And first of all, he's allowed to talk to Tom Benson. So I mean, Gail is in the room, but you know, Tom Benson is there and talking and you know saying his own words. He's not using Gail as an interloper. But he has said in recently, Mr. Benson has sort of lost it a little bit. So I think that part of it is true. But, you know, the part that I don't think we really can know is, you know, whether Gail is doing this on purpose, whether she's pulling the strings, you know, what the relationship is like between him and Rita. But what I think is really weird, though, you know, and I was listening to WWL on the way home for the 2-minute drive. But in that 2 minutes, I believe they had some sort of quote-unquote expert, lawyer or something like that. But and he mentioned something, and I think that's pretty true. It's just – it's a little peculiar that if Tom Benson really didn't want Rita and his – and that side of the family involved in the business anymore, I don't see him writing that letter, and I don't mean just the way it was written and how silly it was in the large font without the letterhead or pagination. But I just feel like this could have been handled internally still. He could have, you know, gone to Rita and Ryan and Renee and said, look, I don't want you guys involved. I'm not going to do anything public. Here's a bunch of money. Sign this non-disclosure agreement and you just go on your way and let's not speak of this ever again. It seems it's just something weird. Obviously, there's something weird going on, but I just don't understand why this would have been handled this way and would have been made public. So something funny is going on, whether that's Gail doing it or whether that's Mr. Benson. He's just gone loony and nobody can stop him. I have no idea. I really don't.
Kevin.
Hang on. Let me jump in on something that Dave just said. I will say this, and I'm making some weird gestures right now where I've got my left hand about a foot over my right hand, and I am moving them both horizontally.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm telling you, look between those. So what I'm going to say is
hashtag wanking.
No, I'm trying to say read between the lines, Ralph.
Yeah. Ralph wasn't even listening.
I thought you were just saying you were doing the crotch chop.
No, I'll just tell you I'm doing the crotch chop. Anywho, what I'm saying is when you have a family that has a wealthy patriarch and, you know, he enters the twilight years of his life and he, you know, there's like signs of slippage, like mentally. Things start to get a little hairy. I'm not siding with either Gail, Team Gail or Team Reader.
You're gonna have to pick a side.
Eventually. But it becomes a fucking Machiavellian den of intrigue. Whoa. And there's let me tell you, I guarantee you. In the end, probably none of those motherfuckers are worth, you know, I guarantee you when facts come out and we have a conversation at that point, you're going to come to me and I'm basically going to say I wouldn't piss on any of them if they were on fire. Well, because I go back to the wealthy patriarch thing.
Well, here's
while making that gesture with my hands.
Well, that's all true.
I just got to say, there are people that glom onto the patriarch and then the second some holes start to show up in the ship, they turn into rats and they are immediately looking for the highest point in the vessel to avoid getting wet.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing that.
So wait, let me ask you this then, Kevin. So what you're saying, Ralph, you can just shut it, all right, buddy. basically what you're saying.
Now I know why you get heckled on the Twitters, Dave.
So Kevin, what I'm hearing you saying is,
quit Benson, subtracting by adding, Dave.
Benson is definitely going crazy. Gail, yes. And Rita both are seeing this, and Rita. We'll put Renee and Ryan together with Rita, but Gail and Rita are both seeing this and they say, quote unquote, holy shit, the old man's going loony. He's really losing it. And we got to do something to make sure that we're going to get control of everything before he dies. And so both sides are saying this. And so now they're beginning to make moves to ultimately, like you said, be at the top of the vessel when the boat goes down, which would mean I would think that you think that the letter that Benson wrote, the email that he sent or however he sent it, telling Rita and Renee, you know, you're gone, you're out of here, clear out your desk, blah, blah, blah. That would mean that I would think that you think that was written by Gail or coerced by Gail.
Probably. And well done on parsing a lot of my mumbly here, bullshit.
Here's the thing that me and Andrew were
talking about. Way to add to the podcast, Dave.
The thing that's interesting is how much do – we don't know anything about Gail, really, right? I mean, she married Tom Benson in 2002. She smiles at games. We don't know anything about her. So she's kind of like this clean slate. You can project anything you want onto her.
Isn't she from Algiers?
Yeah, yes, she's from Algiers. But you,
she's from Algiers, and I believe she is best friends with that tycoon Angela Hill.
Yeah. So you can project whatever you want onto her as far as her for the future of the Saints. But Kevin, with Rita, we know she's kind of a screw off. She got put on double secret probation in 2012. So there's already
possibly for smoking pot with Lenny Kravitz and Sidney Torres in the Superdome suite.
Yeah. And I mean, they dropped a hit piece on her to Kevin Duncan about the assistants and about the Mickey Loomis contract. They dropped that
on
her.
Who's Kevin Duncan?
Jeff Duncan. Sorry. Sorry, Kevin. I wouldn't want to put you in the same sentence.
Oh,
Jeff,
man.
Yeah,
that's probably the meanest thing I've ever said to you.
That is mean.
I know. Thanks a lot, fucker.
But here's the thing. Like, they dropped that. That was a hit piece that they fed Jeff Duncan all that information, and he ran that on a Sunday during the year. So like that was a timed hit piece on her in 2012 before any of this talk of Tom Benson being senile. And what I'm saying is, how much, Kevin, do you think that sort of shapes everyone's attitudes about this battle of who gets the team?
Shapes in what way, though?
I mean, shapes in like I think
public perception.
I think people are scared more of Rita getting the team because of the double secret probation and the thing that she's kind of a screw up and she's fired like 30 personal assistants. If that hadn't come out, I think it would be like an even fight. You'd be like, what the hell, man? He's been grooming her since 2000, and now he's just going to cut her out? Whereas now it's like, oh, he's going to cut her out because she's been fucking off. You know, like I feel like –
But still, it's like you're still waiting until you're senile to
allegedly
cut her off. I mean
– Allegedly.
Allegedly.
So you're – I don't know. It just seems kind of weird. Like you're waiting until the last possible, you know, moment to cut this person out of your life. And not only her for allegedly fucking around, but the other two kids. And again, I don't know what kind of stories the other two kids are doing. I mean, maybe the other two kids are fucking pains in the ass, obnoxious rich kids. I don't know. But like you wait all this time. I don't know. Just the whole fucking thing. This whole thing reeks to high heaven, man. It reeks to high heaven.
Yeah.
I don't trust any of them. I don't trust any of them motherfuckers as far as I can throw them.
Benson burned his trust with us in 2005.
Exactly. Are you keeping the fucking team in town? Yes. Fine. That's all that fucking matters. Are you keeping the fucking team in town?
I mean, Kevin, by your theory, you know that Team Rita and Team Gail are both just now clawing at each other. I mean, technically, you're right. They're both guilty of doing things and saying things in the public sphere. That looks bad and.
Well, what has Gail said that looks bad? She hasn't said anything.
Kevin is kind of saying that when Rita got in trouble back in 2012 and Jeff Duncan wrote that article and all that kind of stuff, that was intentional.
You're saying that Gail leaked that?
That Kevin seemed to be insinuating that somebody from that side.
Well, clearly, yeah, clearly Duncan had sources, but I mean, I don't think it was Gail. I mean, it could have been.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't. Maybe it's just me, but I feel like, you know, Jeff Duncan would be mining executives in the front office, not Gail, for information.
Well, we know that Sean Payton wanted a clause in his contract that. if Loomis wasn't around, he could bolt. And, you know, it was written that, hey, Rita, the reason was Rita and Sean Payton didn't get along, and Sean Payton was worried that if Rita got control, she'd fire Mickey Loomis, she'd fire Payton, or at the very least get rid of Mickey Loomis. So he wanted that in the contract. The league office wouldn't let it go. So that's part of it, probably mining the executives. I mean, for everything we've read, the executives were all sort of on Team Gale, and when Benson released that statement, Loomis and other front office people could have said, "Nah, no comment, no comment." That's between the Bensons. I'm not going to comment on it. I'm general manager of the Saints. I'm just going to do my job the best I can. But they didn't. They were like, "This is good." So, I mean, I think it's fair to say, Kevin, that the executives with the Saints have a little thing against Rita.
Well, either that or they have to, you know, give the company nod to whatever Benson does.
Kevin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Okay. I'm just taking it all in.
Okay, now we're going to play a fun game, because they accused Tom Benson of a bunch of things. And we're going to play a game. Does this make you senile? So, first up, Kevin, they allege that he would go to work and fall asleep at work and not work a full day. I tweeted, in New Orleans, that's not called going senile. That's called Wednesday.
Right. Right.
So I don't think that makes you senile because you want to take a nap at work.
Does not make you senile. It might make you a bad leader and a bad manager, but that doesn't matter because Benson is the boss and he gets to do whatever he wants.
Andrew, you're big.
I mean, I would love to fall asleep at work.
Andrew, you're
fuck,
a big.
That's the American dream.
Yeah.
Andrew, you're a big diet guy. Eat proper, that sort of thing. Does the fact that Benson, they say he's subsisting on red wine, candy, and ice cream, does that make him senile?
I think there are plenty of people in the U.S. that do much worse.
Yeah, that makes also him a goddamn. That makes him a goddamn red-blooded American, is what.
I mean, what wasn't that Dave Cariello's diet until about a year ago?
And I have no problem with Benson eating whatever the fuck he wants to do. The man. Dollars. He's 87 years old. He gets to eat whatever the fuck he wants to eat, and you leave him
America
alone.
Too, by the way, he's a World War II veteran.
Really? Are you serious? He's a World War II veteran? Then shut the fuck up. Don't say another goddamn word to Mr. Benson or anybody close to Mr. Benson about what the fuck he puts in his mouth. He gets to do whatever the fuck he wants. He made it this long. Let's see if you can.
Kevin, I feel like my wife is going on a trip to Vegas to run a wedding. I'm going to subsist on Miller Lite, Witch, Subway, and Pringles. So does that make me senile?
No, but I mean, you are a degenerate human being.
Though. I am. That is true. That's a separate issue, though. That's a separate issue.
I don't know. I would be worried for you if you're picking Subway over Witch.
Both. It depends.
That's poor decision making skills.
Yeah, but I can't eat Witch every day. I gotta mix it up a little bit.
No, okay.
So Kevin, he also didn't know what president, who was president. They asked him, and he said Reagan, and then he said, I think, Truman, which that's a big gap there.
Yeah, Truman, God, okay.
Fair.
All right.
They did have an excellent biography on Truman 4 weeks ago on PBS, so.
Okay,
Well, the best part of that is that he said Truman after Reagan.
Yeah. Okay, Kevin.
All right, so hear me out. Tom Benson's how, 87?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the idea of a black man in the White House
– ooh, no. It's getting dicey.
Might have – could probably blows a lot of minds of people over a certain age.
That is fair. You treaded there nicely.
I'm not even saying –
You treaded there
I'm
nicely.
Not saying, I'm not saying what the age number is. I'm just saying over a certain number, you're probably freaked out to some degree. To what degree, I'm also not going to speculate on that. But I think for a guy who may or may not be going senile, for him to suddenly remember, oh, yes, there's a black man who's leading the United States, I don't know.
It might be a shock to the old system.
It could. That's fair. Kevin, I have to say, walking the line delicately, that's one of the best jobs you've done. That could have gone south very quickly, and you tap danced nice through the landmines. I like that, Kevin.
Thank you. Well, I'm a fucking diplomat. Walking
the tightrope.
Yeah. So, you know, the bottom line is we just want the Saints to win. So, Andrew, if I was a Pelicans fan, I'd be more concerned, and this is why. The Saints have Mickey Loomis. It's going to be business as usual pretty much. The Pelicans have a shit ton of decisions to make after this year. Fire the coach, try to re-sign Anthony Davis, maybe fire the GM. Like, are you more worried about the Saints' future with this whole thing going on as it unfolds, or the Pelicans?
Well, first of all, let's take a step back here. It's not like Tom Benson is on a ventilator. All right? You know, he may have a few more years in him, but I don't know, Ralph. I mean, I think it's one of those things where I would be more concerned. I think we all feel like we would be more concerned if Rita was running the show, because there's this assumption that she would just start – bodies would just start dropping, you know, that she would just start – you're fired and you're fired and you're fired and just go down the line. You know, one thing I know for sure with Gail is that she is not competent to run a business. She's not qualified to run an NFL team. I think the Pelicans should probably feel more safe than the Saints, because that's her pet project. I mean, that's what she's been obsessed with. She's the one that talked Benson into buying them. So we know she loves basketball.
Interesting. But
I think she's committed to New Orleans. I mean, she's from here. I think, you know, certainly if you were to ask me where are both franchises most secure, you know, which party would they be most secure staying in New Orleans with, I would say definitely Gail. I mean, the big question with her is, would she, like Benson, especially Benson in recent years, be willing to trust Mickey Loomis and Lauscha and some of those other guys to run the business? In other words, will she stay out of the way? Will she let them do their job? If that's the case, then obviously the Saints and Pelicans have some good people in place, and there's no reason to think it won't be business as usual. I think the issue with Rita and the concern there was that she would meddle too much.
Yeah, and the thing that worries me about Rita and Kevin, I'll start with you. You can tell me if this is completely off base. The thing with Rita is she's only, what, 34?
Yeah, she's like my age, yeah.
No.
But she's older
than me, huh? She's closer to 40.
Okay,
she's
either, 39 she's or 40. Like, either, 38. Either way, let's say she's my age, she's 38. Here's the thing that is a concern. Gail knows that her legacy is tied to New Orleans. If she got control of the Saints and she sold them to San Antonio or move them to Portland, like, she's going to die. She's going to be buried back in New Orleans. She knows the first paragraph of her obituary is going to be, she's the one that moved the team. Rita, at 40, if she wants to move the team when the Saints lease is over in 2025, she'll only be 50, let's say. So she's got a whole other way to burnish her legacy in the new city. So just on that, Dave, I would lean towards Gail, not knowing anything about how she could run the team.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're fairly on base. Is that the opposite of off base? On base?
Yeah, on base percentage.
Okay, I don't know what that proves, but anyway. but, my gut feeling is like you. I mean, I definitely think Gail would have no interest in moving the team. If you had to pick one who's more likely to move the team out of New Orleans, I definitely think it would be Rita. You know, I don't understand why you'd. I mean, the whole stadium thing is really the only issue in my mind. I mean, otherwise, there's really no reason to move the team to New Orleans. You're talking about every season, every game gets sold out for the season, which not every NFL team has that luxury. And you've got a waiting list of 15,000 people or however long it is. I mean, all you have to do is just win and the attendance will be fine.
Not, you don't even have to win, really. You just have to not drop. Yeah. You just have to, well, the bottom just not hit. Just the bottom.
Dave, I agree, but I think there's three things you got to worry about, three things staring us in the face. Number one, Breeze is approaching retirement. You know, it could be 2 years, could be 5 years, but it's approaching.
And what does that have to do with anything? How does moving the team solve that problem?
No, I'm just saying that there may be a time where the Saints start losing a lot of games.
Yeah,
you know,
that's fine.
Depending on how they rebound from that, and that will affect the business and how successful it is financially.
Of course.
So that's number one.
Absolutely.
I think number two, we don't know if Gale inherits this team and eventually is the owner. We don't know how old she's going to be. Let's say she's 72. Her health deteriorates, you know, who knows? And she decides, you know what? I'm not fit to run this business. I never asked for this. You don't know how she's going to play. She's like, I can walk away with $2 billion right now if I sell this to someone else. And then you're in a world of trouble because then there's the unknown of who would buy it. So that's second. And then third, I just think you're potentially running the problem of her trying to meddle. We don't know for sure that she's going to not try to be involved in business decisions.
Well, you're always going to have that issue. And, you know, like you said, Andrew, she's older, so you don't know. You're always going to have – whether it's – you're eventually in the next probably 10 or 11 years, you're going to have an issue with the Saints being sold because when Benson bought them, yeah, $55 million was a lot of money in 1985. But they had a lot of people – well, no, they didn't. They didn't even have a lot of people in 1985 in Louisiana that could fork over the $55 million. And Edwards had to pull a bunch of strings and – get a bunch of guarantees for Benson and help him with some loans to able to buy the Saints. Yeah. And that was $55 million. So if you're talking in 2028 when the Saints go for sales, you're talking $1 billion, $1.5 billion. I mean, Louisiana just doesn't have that kind of people.
Well, not only that, but we've got a stadium dispute down the pike. You know, maybe a decade before we get there, maybe 5 years, maybe 8 years, but – there's a stadium issue that's going to come up because the Superdome right now, I believe, is the second oldest stadium in the United States or something like that, or at least for football. But so that's in the cards. And then when you look at the economy in New Orleans and just, you know, are taxpayers going to sign up for a new stadium that's going to cost them a significant amount of money? Can Louisiana justify that with all the other needs that they have after Katrina? That it could get dicey. I mean, I'm just saying you want the right people in place handling that situation that are in your camp. Otherwise, who knows what the future of the Saints hold. And I think that's when you look ahead 10 years down the road, I mean, whether it's Gale or Rita, that's probably who's dealing with that situation.
All right. Final.
Really quick.
Go ahead.
Wait. How much did Benson buy the team for in what year? $55 million?
$55 million in 1985.
All right, so hang on. I've got the Bureau of – oh, fuck. It's got to be less than $10 million. Son of a bitch, Bureau of Labor. I'm trying to get an – okay, I've got an inflation calculator, amount of money. I'm now going to a non-Bureau of Labor one, so sorry. All right, so 1985, and then this thing ends with 2013. Submit. All right, so $55 million is worth – hang on a second. If you were to buy the same products, oh, for Christ's sake.
Jesus, Kevin. Doing math on a podcast is the most – doing math is worse than eating on a podcast.
It really is.
Jesus.
Yeah, it really is.
I was told there'd be no
it's
math.
It's only double. It's
Kevin,
only double.
Kevin, recuse yourself.
Listen,
that's only double. It's $117 million. So fuck this is a hell of a return on the investment.
Well, not only that, he bought the Pelicans at the exact right time too. The Pelicans have like tripled in value since he bought them. He bought them.
Everything's coming up, Millhouse.
It is. So
now's the time to sell.
Final question around the horn. I'll start with you, Andrew. On a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being ugly as fuck. How ugly does this get before the 2015 season starts in September?
I think it gets pretty ugly because contrary to what most people think, I think that there's something to this suit from Rita. And I think, you know, obviously they're asking for him to be seen by an independent psychologist, or, you know, basically to be evaluated for his mental capacity. And, you know, if he doesn't pass that test, or he doesn't seem all there, then we're talking settlement, you know, or goes to trial or whatever. So,
well, do the kids want to settle for like $900 million?
Right. Would they settle for cash as opposed to not being involved in the business?
So, Dave, how ugly does this get before kickoff in 2015?
I don't know. You know, I mean,
the one thing that's good about things getting dragged out in court is that when you don't, I mean, it'll be big news when it's revealed, but, you know, we could easily go through 6 months of inactivity on something. Yeah. Like that.
I mean, a part of me feels like we're New Orleans and we like to do it big, and this is going to get really crazy. I mean, you know,
we do it big, baby.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty good with the whole family feuds. You know, the Kern family and the Brennan family.
Yeah. The thing is, for the Advocate and the Times Picayune, like, they know that it moves papers,
right?
So they're gonna have people on it.
We here in New Orleans, we're not strangers to well-publicized family feuds. And we know how good they can get sometimes. You know, I would say, you know, I'd say 6 or 7 max. I mean, you know, I don't think dead bodies are going to start getting.
Yeah. Well, I got to give props to the Times-Picayune. Who'd That Say They're Going to Own Them Saints was a fantastic headline, and the New York tabloid stood and applauded.
But seriously, how does this get any better? It only gets worse. I mean,
well, no,
Tom Benson already dropped the bomb by making this go public, and then Rita throws gasoline by suing him and saying that she's already thrown the Hail Mary.
But I think I think what happens, Andrew, is they have all this stuff in the court in the suit with the settlement. But I think what's going to happen is the Benson kids and Rita, they're going to have their people. They're going to start leaking more stuff, and Benson and his people, Gail, are going to start leaking more stuff. And I think it's and the Times-Picayune is going to have people digging because they know that it sells papers. So I think Kevin, on a scale of 1 to 10, how ugly does this get, or how much fun, Dave's thing, how much fun does this get, if you want to be positive?
Yeah, so Dave said that one of the big things about New Orleans is everybody likes to do things big. Yeah, the other thing about New Orleans is that everything likes to get dragged the fuck out longer than necessary. So I could totally see this thing taking 2 years, maybe even 3. If there's not a settlement before the middle of the summer, then I think the thing drags on the whole damn year. And I think it'll be maybe you'll get a big deal early, and then fucking radio silence for the most part. Yeah. So and that'll just drive everybody nuts.
All right. I was going to talk about Dennis Allen getting hired and Jeff Riley, but no one fucking cares.
Who cares about that?
Yeah. No, but we do have actual Saints news.
Wait a minute. Hang on, though. I have a question for all. I have a question for all three of you.
Hold on a minute.
Go ahead.
Is your mom a hooker?
Is your mom a hooker? Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Okay, but he's not going to – well, he is the scouting director, Kevin, so technically he could still be doing that. So I don't know, but he's better than what we have, I think. So, but the Saints made actual news. They signed the CFL version of Deion Sanders, Delvin Bro. So, Andrew
– yeah, those
mad, CFL, you mad, bro?
You mad, bro? So, Andrew, I watched his YouTube clips.
I did as well.
He's a Hamilton Tigercat. He looked awesome. And I believe they've solved their cornerback problem because they can have two local guys starting at corner. They can have Keenan Lewis on one side. They can have Delvin Bro on the other. The cornerback problem is solved, Andrew. What are they going to do in the draft now?
Well, yeah, it's funny. He kind of reminded me a little bit of on that tape of Keenan Lewis. I mean, he's a big dude, about 6'1", and physical, and he's not like – he didn't seem like a guy with great ball skills, but he was just a physical corner that broke up a lot of passes. So he looked pretty good on the CFL tape. I mean, I would just caution Saints fans that are getting excited, I remind you of two things. Number one, he's never Marcus played college ball. He's never played pro ball. He's in CFL for a reason.
Yeah,
and before that, he was in arena ball. And the best corner that we got, or the best defensive back that we got from the CFL last year, Marcus Ball, wasn't exactly a game changer. So, you know, hopefully he's a guy that can make the team and give some depth at corner, because right now the depth at corner is god awful. And, you know, I think he's easily a guy that could be, you know, a special teamer in your fourth corner or fifth corner. So hopefully he makes the 53-man roster. But to expect him to come in and immediately be the starter, I just realistically that's not happening.
Kevin, who's more likely to be on the team in 2015, Delvin Bro or Patrick Robinson?
I'm gonna just say Delvin Bro, because I mean, how does Bro spell his last name?
B R E A U X.
Oh yeah.
B-R-O.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mad, bro?
Yeah.
You mad?
Delvin, that's bro.
Done. That's done. That's done deal right there, man.
He might as well be named Hebert.
Right.
Or Manning.
If we could come up with a catchy nickname for Bro and Lewis by the time August rolls around, then I know it's a lot. You know, it's going to be awesome.
I mean, I've already nominated Bro for the Anime Ojo / Walter Thomas preseason / Andy Tanner preseason hero of the training camp.
He's one good practice at the Greenbrier from having four 1,500-word features written on him within a week's time.
Oh, he's one good practice at the Greenbrier from having an entire thread dedicated to him at Saints Report.
Oh, he's probably already got that.
Yeah, true.
Dave.
Lou Bro. Call him Lou Bro.
Lou Bro. Dave.
What?
Do you feel like the Bro signing in any way changes what the Saints are going to do in the offseason?
The Bro signing doesn't even register on my meter. This is just like the Marcus Ball signing that wound up being nothing. They're both on par with each other. This is just a blip on the radar. I don't expect much from Bro. Like Andrew said, there's a reason he was in the CFL.
13 teams worked him out.
Well, great for them. This doesn't change a damn thing.
All right. So you mentioned balls, Dave. So that's a great segue.
I mentioned Marcus Ball.
Kevin.
Good enough.
Singular, Ralph.
Singular. Kevin, we got to talk about Deflategate.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we
no,
do. We don't. Because
we really
here's the thing. As a Saints fan, I'm conflicted because part of me wants them to hammer fucking Belichick and suspend his ass just like they did Sean Payton. And another part of me is like, no, you can't give a Sean Payton's penalty was insane and wrong, so it doesn't – doing it to Belichick doesn't solve anything. What do you want out of Ballgate?
It's Deflategate.
Gate or whatever.
Can't it be both shitty things? Like, I mean, like, can't the Patriots win the Super Bowl and then have and honestly I feel sick even saying that, but can't the Patriots win and then have like fucking Goodell have to hand the trophy, the Belichick and Brady, and their smug ass smiles, and one of them make a stupid fucking pun about it, and everybody have to like, you know, bow down, and then Goodell gets further pissed that he was embarrassed, and then decides fuck this, and then suspends him for the entire next season, and then all the sports writers fucking go ape shit on themselves, and it just turns into a giant spooge fest on sports talk radio for the entire offseason.
Dave, has this
this whole thing is ridiculous. My mother told me the other day that a White House reporter asked the press secretary about Deflategate. Like, what? I can't believe that it's reached this level. I mean, we're talking about
America hates the Patriots. That's why, and they're dirty, rotten cheaters.
I mean, that's fine. That's fine, but I don't know. I don't understand why the White House should be discussing Deflategate in any capacity.
Andrew, how many days will it be until some poor, pathetic ball boy gets run over by the Patriot bus and blamed for this? Totally and completely.
I mean, no one else is taking the blame for it, so I'm sure it's going to happen at some point. But I kind of love it because, number one, I think it takes – I feel like just your average NFL fan that you see on message boards and that sort of thing, the Saints still catch heat for being cheaters. And I just feel like this puts it squarely in New England camp as the cheaters of the league. You know, I feel like now the Saints are kind of off the hook, you know, in distant second in terms of cheating.
Here's the thing that I got pissed at. I went at the guy for Deadspin until he blocked me, Greg Howard. Is that, you know, Deadspin and other sports blogs, they rant and rave about how Goodell's a liar, he doesn't have any integrity, he's full of crap with the Ray Rice thing, and you know, they lie. But Bountygate apparently is completely and utterly true. Everything about it.
Right.
You know? So the good thing is with this is it further damages that. So
oh, absolutely. That's what I was gonna say. That's exactly what I was gonna say. I think the main thing for me, the main takeaway from this is it's just another opportunity for Goodell to look like an idiot.
Yeah. So, Kevin, are you still rooting against the truther in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, listen, nothing short of like seeing some high profile figure being shot on camera, and then the camera pans over to Belichick and Brady holding smoking pistols, is going to probably make me change my mind about wanting to see Pete Carroll lose. I mean, I'm serious. Like, I fucking loathe. I mean, maybe the only thing I loathe more than a 9/11 truther is back. I mean,
have you guys seen that picture going around on Twitter of Goodell handing Belichick and Brady the Lombardi Trophy with the football deflated on the Lombardi Trophy?
No, I have not. That's a winner.
That is.
I was
rock
just
solid.
Thinking of that right now. I was just thinking how I was going to go Photoshop. Somebody's
all right.
Yeah. That.
So
yes, it's been done and it's glorious.
Let's get to the.
Literally just thinking that.
Twitter questions. Andrew, I'll start the first one. This is from Reichert. He says, will Tom Benson have to spend more money for Anthony Davis to stay or for Rita to go the fuck away?
I'm definitely the latter. Definitely. Without question.
Yeah. I mean, Anthony Davis, he's probably going to sign a 2-year extension maybe this summer to get him to the new TV contract. And at most, it'll be like $140 million he'll get from the Pelicans. Rita's going to get away more than
for
that.
For 2 years?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, he'll probably won't sign the max extension. He'll sign like a 2 or 3 year extension so he can get another extension once the new TV contract kicks in.
How much money do you think his 2 year extension is going to be worth?
He'll probably, well, he's got one more, they have one more option on his rookie deal, so that'd put him to 15-16, and then so he might only do he'll make like $13 million there, and then like he might only do a 1 year extension after that, because that's what LeBron did. Everybody wants to be a free agent in the NBA when the new TV contract kicks in 2017, because the cap's gonna go way the fuck up. All right, let's see. This isn't really a question, Dave, but it's more like a statement. I'm on Team Gale because Rita seems like a drunk, crazy aunt nobody likes to hear from or be around. Agree or disagree with that?
Oh, she sounds like somebody that I would hang out with and party with.
Let's see. Kevin, this is right up your alley. This is from the Angry Ocho. What are the odds?
Must be about wrestling.
No, it's not. We got it for those. Yeah. What are the odds Russell Wilson prayed for God to deflate those balls?
Zero, because Russell Wilson would not ask God to do such things.
Let's see. Mitch says, everybody, Benson is the modern day Big Daddy from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. Everybody wants his money. Team Gale. Hashtag Team Gale. This is a good one for you, Andrew. Name the current starters who will not play for the Saints in 2015.
Okay, let's see. Terrence Frederick. I mean, does Pierre Warren count as a starter? Or are we talking?
I guess he does. I guess he's
okay. Yeah. Pierre Warren, Jamarcus Sanford. I think Hawthorne and Paris Harrelson are gone. I think we're gonna see some fresh blood at linebacker. I'm gonna say Junior Gallette.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm gonna say Junior Gallette.
I'm gonna say
Ben Grubbs. And I'm gonna say Colston stays, but he's not a starter.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Juicy.
Dave, next year, Ray Lewis versus Michael Irvin for the Pro Bowl as celebrity coaches.
No, seriously, the Pro Bowl is a fucking joke. And the fact that I've got to watch the Pro Bowl and Michael Irvin with a microphone on his face for 10% of the broadcast, like, how is that entertaining? I want someone to explain
Dude,
to me how.
Dude, Andrew, it draws the NBA NFL playoff the ratings.
The NFL is the number one sports conglomerate in the world. You know, maybe except for international soccer, it's number one. And yet somehow they think, how are we going to make the Pro Bowl better? And that with the, what comes into their mind is they're going to do Team Irvin against Team Carter. How fucking lame is that?
They probably worked 6 months on that, Andrew. Some guy in a corner office probably makes $400,000 a year came up with that idea.
It just makes me sick. Seriously. Watching Michael Irvin with his headset on, chest bumping all these guys after his team, who I don't even know who's on his team. I literally, like, Drew Brees is on one team, Graham's on the other. I seriously don't even know which team is on who has who.
It's not the NFC.
All right, Kevin, I saved this question for you. Who between Robert Kraft and Goodell is the scoutmaster on their sleepovers?
Kraft is the scoutmaster. Roger Goodell is canteen boy.
I don't even.
Yes, that's right.
An SNL sketch, Ralph. Jesus, man, you ought to know that.
I know.
Even I've seen that.
I know. Kevin,
Dave hasn't even seen The Godfather, and he's seen that.
Dave, we got The Godfather on the DVR. We got all three of them. My wife, she just plays them randomly. If you're ever in the Houston area, stop on by. We'll do a Godfather marathon. My wife is
just mail them to me for a week. I want Blu-ray. You got Blu-ray?
Kevin, here's a wrestling question. Would you rather watch the Royal Rumble again or Seahawks on Hard Knocks?
God.
What was on last night, the Royal Rumble?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Zodiac motherfucker was mad last night. And I don't even watch last night, and his feed was delightful. He was mad.
Me and a lot of other guys were not happy. You know what? I'm going to say the Seahawks on Hard Knocks because – at least I'll have the nice dulcet tones of Liev Schreiber to narrate things. And
can it really be any worse than the Falcons?
That's true. It can't be worse. Andrew, than actually, the Falcons was funny.
Here's a question for you, Andrew. Do you care less about Royal Rumble, or the state of Tom Brady's balls?
Royal Rumble. I couldn't care less about wrestling, really and truly. I'm a tennis player. I'm a freaking tennis player, man.
Andrew is
angry. What do you want from me?
Andrew is angry because he got...
I don't have time for your wrestling. I play tennis.
You know I got time for that.
Andrew is mad because he got curb stomped right before the podcast started in a tennis match that he was winning and it fell apart on him.
Curb stomped. It was like Edward Norton in that movie.
American History X.
Yeah.
This is, let's see.
Wow, Dave with a good movie reference. Wow.
Well, I did.
This
I
is
did,
like
I did,
Bizarro podcast day.
I did reference it as that movie, and I couldn't instantly recall the name of the movie.
Here's from,
I wouldn't give myself that much credit.
Ralph, please pronounce my name correctly this time. It's Ta-Ka-No. Dude, if you listen to this podcast, you know names ain't my bag. I can barely pronounce my own name, much less yours. Come on now. How many years did I get your name wrong, Dave?
Oh, yeah, we fucked up Dave's name for years.
Well, how are you pronouncing Cariello?
Carrillo. for 2 years.
That too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm surprised you never got Juge wrong.
It's a wonder this podcast still goes on.
It's a wonder this podcast has 12,000 people a month that listen. Seriously. We love you all. You need to donate so we can have good quality sound.
You think Rita listens to us?
Also.
She's got plenty of time to listen to us now.
She does. Also,
hey, Rita.
Like, I feel like there isn't a Tom Benson parody Twitter or a Rita parody. Like, come on, Twitter. Get with it, man. So
no, I would totally create that if I had
more time. Rob Bryant's hair can have it.
Yeah. If I had the time, I'd start it.
Rob Bryan's hair is kind of a disappointing account, I have to say.
They have Rob Bryan's hair. They have Rob Bryan's stomach. I mean,
whoever does the Pierre the Pelican
stomach
account, that one's pretty good.
Yeah. So that about wraps it up. But give me – I'll start with you, Dave, a quick prediction on the Super Bowl.
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be a good game. I'll say low scoring, though. I'm going to say 27-24.
Andrew?
I'm going to say Seahawks again, unfortunately. I want the Patriots to win. It kills me to say that, but I think the Seahawks win. I'm going to say, 27-17 pretty comfortably. I feel like they got out of jail free in that Packers game, and now it kind of feels like destiny for them.
Kevin?
Yeah, by the way, I'm picking this because I didn't actually anybody, but it'll probably be the Seahawks, unfortunately.
Kevin?
Roman Reigns is going to win. and I guarantee you there's like five wrestling people that are just laughing their asses off right now at that. I'll say Patriots 23, Seahawks 17.
Wrong.
Ralph, am I allowed to write in Buddy Romer?
Buddy. you are allowed. I'm going to say Seahawks 38-14, and it's going to make you want to throw up. Ugh. Like, it's just going to...
How many penalties are the Patriots going to get called for?
15.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know the NFL's going to rig this. The refs are going to be totally anti-Patriots.
We'll see. So, this is a delightful podcast. Everyone was angry.
I tell you what, over under, 5.5 holding calls against the Patriots.
Over. Fucking over.
Under.
7.5.
Under. Obviously.
Under. They didn't throw one against Junior Gallette last year, that's for sure.
Burn! All right, so
Ralph, you need to open this podcast with the Family Feud theme song.
If me and Kevin were more industrious, we'd have had some sort of skit about Ralph.
That's what you call addition by subtraction, right there.
So
we need to have game show music open all the podcasts during the off season.
We do.
Game show music is basically the best opening music ever in the history of.
And then we can have the Price is Right sad horn. So you can go to Canal Street Chronicles. Dave will have a Super Bowl open thread, I'm sure. You need to go to Saints Nation and just bathe in the misery of the top 10 worst plays of 2014.
Oh my God, that's still going on.
Milking it, baby. It's the off season,
dude. It is
milking it.
If you're just like eating your lunch one day at work, and you're just like, I want to feel fucking terrible. Just go to Saints Nation and count down like
you
just
know,
like
you know, Dave. I don't have the luxury of fucking 1,500 riders. All right, I gotta pull shit out of my ass just to barely get by with one post
a day. Grind. So
I haven't even written anything in 2 years. Nobody's even noticed.
So the worst play is one by one. I did the top 10, but after this, I might do the top 50.
Dude, you left some off. I was like, damn, he left that off. So, and Kevin, as always, is on Twitter. On Tinder.
Tinder.
He's on
Tinder. Tinder.
Tinder. How's the Tinder? Give us a quick 30-second Tinder update, Kevin.
Went out on a date with a lady last Friday. She's actually from Louisiana. No. She's actually from Louisiana, just outside Lafayette.
Does it end in EAUS?
Little Cajun spice.
The date went well. I'm gonna keep trying to text her and see what's going on, and hopefully we can meet up this weekend.
Nice.
Wait. So date followed by see you later.
Yeah. Like I walked her to her car and told her. Well, you know, I am from Louisiana. I am a Southern gentleman, if you will.
Classy.
Was she a Saints fan?
Yes.
And did you tell her
with
the Saints podcast?
No, he did not.
I am not mentioning the podcast. You don't mention this podcast. I'm holding off on the podcast.
All right, you still have a chance.
I don't even mention this podcast to my own family. So
hey, wait a minute. When are we going to set up that tournament about the worst media members?
Oh my God, we're going to crank that up after the draft. But we got stuff we use that Kevin in the dead period, but now that we got the Benson family feud, we got stuff to talk about. At least
we got to milk this cow.
All right.
Hopefully Gail leaks something soon.
They got to leak juicy. They got to have stuff in the paper every week. So for Dave,
they're going to have stuff in the paper tomorrow and you know it.
They are. So for Dave, for Andrew, for Kevin, I'm Ralph. Be safe until next week.
Team Rita.